Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome everyone to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, and it is such a pleasure, as always, to be here. Just to let you know, Alan's motto, which we always like to open the show with, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. And we talk about that in a variety of different ways. I am so delighted to open the show with someone I've known for a very long time. And he keeps coming up in my mind every time I watch some wonderful good news coming out of the Trump administration. And I think, you know, Tom was there when it wasn't cool to be limited government, when it wasn't cool to want to close and secure our borders. But there's so much more to talk to him about. He's former Congressman Tom Tancredo of Colorado. He served as congressman for 10 years. He was appointed, and he would have served longer, but he made a pledge not to run, and he didn't eventually. He was appointed by President Reagan and reappointed by President Bush as Secretary of Education and Regional Representative. Also founder of Rocky Mountain Foundation, a contributor to World Net Daily. In addition, he's run for the Republican presidential nomination and for Governor of Colorado. Former Congressman Tom Tancredo. Let me say your name right. Tom Tancredo. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Good morning, Karen. Pleasure to join you.
It's good to have you. So here's the reason that I thought about you in particular, but there's just no end to the things we can talk about. You are a wealth of information, and you have institutional memory, too. So I don't know if you happen to be watching. Do you like Jesse Waters?
Yes, I do.
Good. I was watching Jesse, forgive me, you can tell me what you think of Jesse Waters, but I was watching Jesse Waters interview Elon Musk when they had that roundtable of the Doge people. And
right.
I was so pleased that they didn't fall for the idea of these crazy named programs, that was the end of the investigation, that these crazy named programs, even that, the money didn't get to where it was supposed to go for circumcisions for people in Zimbabwe. That wasn't what happened. The money went for, as I like to call it, bullying, bribery, and blackmail. And the reason I thought of you is I said, you saw it, you didn't stand for it, you didn't sell your soul to the devil. That's why I wanted to talk to you.
Well, and I saw that interview and I was certainly impressed. But did you see the one that he did with Laura Trump?
Part of it. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, I mean, it was just him and Laura. And it was just, I'm telling you, it was mesmerizing, or at least it was for me.
Really?
I guess it's because you listen to the guy and you listen to what he's done. And then she was asking him toward the end about all the things he's going to do. And you think to yourself, how can this man be other than having his having him go up on Mount Rushmore? I mean, the fact is he's perhaps the greatest individual in so many respects.
Now, are you talking about Elon Musk? You're talking about Donald Trump.
I'm talking about Musk. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's
all right. Hey, no. It's all right.
Well, Musk was I thought he did a great job during that when they started bugging him about his hats and stuff. I mean, he's just a great guy. And he's so, you know, you think to yourself, in the history of the world, can you think of another human being that has contributed so much to it, the world's in advancement? I mean, the entire planet, really, and has ever faced this kind of you know, bombing of their firebombing his
yes.
Tesla dealerships and his threats on his life and all that stuff. I mean, has there ever been anybody like that? Yeah, I mean, I know certainly Einstein took a lot of heat, but it wasn't for being brilliant. It was because he was a Jew and in Germany. And but the there's nothing like it that I can think of. I mean,
well,
in every other way, people have their virtues have been extolled. And what is just so weird.
I think I have an answer. I wrote this down, Tom, as you were talking. And I thought, well, if I had to boil it down to a slogan, which I usually don't like doing, but hey, you gotta sometimes. The segments are short. Excellence is a threat to communists.
Mm.
It just is. They don't want people to be individualists and to excel. They want everybody to be collectively mediocre. That's what enables them to thrive and be the elites that rule over us all. And most of the people who are hating Musk are really only useful idiots for the people who are drumming up this hate towards Trump and towards Musk, because we're just not allowed to reward excellence and accomplishment. And we could go on, and you've been there, love of country, et cetera, et cetera. This is what they're really attacking.
You've been reading your Ayn Rand again.
I don't read Ayn Rand. I just watch what's going on in this country and how they're willing to destroy that. Yes, I understand Ayn Rand, and she was a figure of courage. And so were you. I know you are modest. You don't like to talk about it. But when I think about honest politicians has become an oxymoron, and they're as rare as hen's teeth. All they got to do is find the biggest weakness of a politician, and they'll do anything that the left wants. That's why they're going after, I can never remember his name, Fenberg, you know, the guy who suddenly is pro-Israel. And now my point is, you seemed to withstand that incredible Faustian bargain that I think has been going on. That's what Musk and his people are uncovering. The deep hole, the chasm of corruption that gets people who go to Washington to sell their souls, and you didn't sell yours. I know you're a man of faith, but what else was it that made you say, you can't buy me? You can't.
It's because I did not run for Congress for a purpose other than to advance an idea or a set of principles, and they evolved around conservative thought and specifically immigration reform, which I then believed, I still believe to be one of the greatest dangers to our culture and to our whole system. And so the fact that if you go in with just, I used to think that there were two kinds of people that ran for office. Those who ran because they wanted to be that, whatever it is, fill in the blank. I don't care. County commissioner.
I want to have the pin on my lapel. You've said that. I want to have that little pin.
It
says, I'm a congressman.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And then there's the person who wants to do something when they're there. And now, I'm not saying that you can't have someone who has those qualities to a certain extent, but the minute you go in, if the first one is your priority, I want to be that, then you are immediately compromised. Immediately.
Right, right.
Because just as Tom DeLay told me, you know, in the last of our several heated conversations about my activities there and speaking on the issue of illegal immigration and doing so in Republican districts, my God, you know, if you keep this up, he says, And I'm more thinking, what more can they do to me? You know, as he said it, because he's got his finger like in my nose almost. And he's, if you keep this up, you little SOB. And I thought to myself, well, you know, you son of a gun, I'm a little bit taller than you. Anyway, he says, you keep this up and you're going to ruin your career in this place. And I looked at him and I said, and this was my eighth year there or something. And I said, you know, Tom, I don't know how to break this to you, but I don't want a career in this place. I don't even like this place.
That's what inoculated you. And we have you for one more segment, right, Tom?
You bet.
Oh, I'm so glad. We're just getting started with Tom Tancredo. One of the good guys as far as having integrity. He deserves all the credit. Shouldn't be such an exception instead of the rule. We're going to be right back on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Network. Stay tuned.
Baked beans might be a summer classic, but they can also bring a deliciously unexpected twist to your spring menu. Registered dietitian Amy Goodson has more.
Baked beans aren't just for summer. They're a tasty, easy addition to any spring meal. From Easter and springtime brunches to weekday dinners, Bush's baked beans bring rich taste, quick prep, and serious versatility, whether serving them straight from the can or adding your own twist.
From savory brunch bowls to traditional favorites, beans are finding their way into all kinds of seasonal dishes.
There are so many ways to enjoy baked beans. Try a build-your-own brunch bowl with a base like rice or sweet potatoes. Then add chicken, Bush's baked beans, coleslaw, tomatoes, creamy avocado, and a kick of jalapeno. I also love Grandma's favorite Bush's baked beans, loaded with beef, bacon, smoked sausage, and veggies. It's full of flavor and nostalgia, perfect for spring get-togethers.
For more baked bean inspiration and recipes, visit bushbeans.com. That's bushbeans.com.
It's been 5 years since the COVID-19 pandemic began, yet nurses continue to face significant stress and burnout. Brendan Martin, Research Director for the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, or NCSBN, has more.
The nursing community is facing persistent challenges, with nurses continuing to leave the field in record numbers. In fact, our 2024 National Nursing Workforce Study finds nearly 2 in 5 nurses plan to leave the profession by 2029.
More than 138,000 nurses left the profession since 2022, and a lot more nurses intend to leave the field within the next 5 years. Nurses face similar challenges across all levels and experience.
40% of nurses expressed that stress and burnout are among the top reasons for considering a job change. They also mentioned heavy workloads, understaffing, and feeling underpaid contributed to their desire to leave.
For more information on the National Council of State Boards of Nursing 2024 Workforce Study, visit ncsbn.org/workforce.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we're delighted to have Tom Tancredo, former Congressman Tom Tancredo, from Colorado for another segment. Thank you so much, Tom, for sticking with us. We appreciate it. Are you there?
My pleasure.
Ah, great, great. We'll just let that die down and then we'll continue. I am always stunned. We'll do this, you know, we'll do one more pass on this. Then we can talk about some of the other issues that are near and dear to your heart. None other than whatever you have passion about. We can talk about education, illegal immigration, or immigration, how things have changed. But I'm always reminded of the stories of Faustian bargains and people who have always been tempted with whatever is their greatest weakness in order that they should sell their soul. And It seems like Congress is a perfect place to get those people and get them to do as you want. You and I both know several, I won't name them this time, but I don't mind naming them, Congress people who are exactly in your position in Colorado, who promised and promised and promised limited government, lower taxes, all kinds of things. They get to Washington, and all of a sudden, we've seen this even in the Supreme Court. You know, we wonder what happened with Jeffrey Epstein, and now we're finding out that he just existed to make sure that bad people had something on the people to control. I mean, you're Italian. They make the mobster look like pikers, don't they? Honestly.
Yeah. There's more money in doing what they're doing in Congress. There's more corruption and more opportunity for it there than even with the mafia. You're
yes,
right.
Yes.
You know, it is it's fascinating in a way, but it's also when you see the fight that is going on with Doge, right?
Yes.
Not just the burning of the buildings and the cars and all that sort of thing, but just the political struggle that is going on. And governors and mayors saying we're not going to surrender to Doge, and you can't come into my community. And we just passed a law here in Colorado making it even harder for ICE to cooperate with our local officials. And so and I just saw, by the way, thank God, the Department of Justice is suing the state of Colorado.
Yes,
because they are out of violating the law. Absolutely, it's been on the books for a long time about sanctuary cities. In this case, a sanctuary state. But my point is that it's so amazing because you keep thinking, why would anybody be against getting rid of fraud, waste, and abuse? And okay, you can argue about the fringes of it, now what's really going to happen with Medicaid, but you should never even be the slightest bit concerned with $150 billion they've already whacked off and they're going after more, because it is all fraud, waste, and abuse, and it is proven.
Yes.
And they bring it out. They're clear about it. There's nothing. There's no subterfuge. It's all transparent. Here's what we have been funding. Do you want to keep funding this crap? And why are you fighting this so bad? And it is absolutely every time, it's been my experience in Congress and in life, when you see something happening that you can't explain, you think this isn't right.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't fit with anything I know about human nature or you just then have to take the next step, and that is follow the money.
Money. Follow the money.
It never fails.
Couldn't we say, though, too, that we look at a place like Las Vegas, that that kind of entices every one of the seven deadly sins. You're Catholic, right? And uses that to entice people and to get their money. And so some skull full of mush goes to Washington and they find out exactly what their peccadilloes are. They find out whether it's sex, whether it's getting reelected, which all politicians want, or they want to get rich and retire with a McMansion somewhere. And they will give them those things as long as they do as they're told and become, subjugated to this deep state machine.
And it works in such, I don't know how to, in ways that they're not even really, they're not illegal. A lot of people, in my position, in when I was in Congress, many of them were not taking, quote, bribes. I mean, some were absolutely just straight out cash, do it this way. But most were not. Most were taking it in the form of support from the leadership for their campaigns. Millions of dollars coming to them that way, legally, but all based on the fact that first of all, where does the leadership get this money? Well, they get it from corporations that don't want to.
Well, what about all these NGOs and money that gets diverted?
NGOs, that's right.
Yeah. See, we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg as far as the slush fund that the Democrats have had in order to push political influence. I think it would make our jaws drop on the floor. And they use it to co-opt Republicans, too. And
absolutely.
There was an article, and I was going to talk about it. I can talk about it with you. And believe me, I could talk to you for an hour. This whole segment, I could have you. And we could talk about illegal immigration, which you were talking about before almost anybody. You got banished from the White House for daring to talk about the elephant in the living room. And there, I saw this article by in The Federalist with the title by Sean Fleetwood. And the title was, headline, "Conservatives Can't Make America Great Again Until They Hold Red State Rhinos Accountable." Your thoughts?
Oh, man. Yeah,
you got to see it. It's great.
Absolutely. I think it's right on the money because, when you recognize that the end result of, follow the money leads to people of every stripe, every political stripe, certainly. It doesn't matter. Just because you are a Republican, you are susceptible to all of those siren songs. And so you have I guess I don't know whether I should be proud of the fact, but my net worth was less when I left Congress than when I went in.
That's what it should be. Not like Nancy Pelosi, who these people go to Congress, and it's been mentioned, but we haven't gotten there to hold these people accountable. And it will continue to happen until they're exposed to the light of day. Boy, oh boy, that was a short couple of segments with you. Tom Tancredo, Godspeed. You are loved and appreciated more than you know.
Both ways. I love you too, Karen. Take care.
Love you. Take care. Well, that was a great way to open and start the show. We are off and running here on The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline. Stay tuned for a whole lot more right after this.
So Zuzu is the story of an adorable hermit crab that actually mistakes a piece of plastic for its shell. There's a short film on joinzuzu.com that is this extraordinary short film about Zuzu's story. But also there's a petition online where people can go and easily, in just moments, sign this petition to advocate for federal EPR legislation. This is so important because this allows us to create a national strategy of collective action to scale up a solution to fix the recycling problem in this country. So I partnered with SC Johnson on the Zuzu movement because SC Johnson is one of those rare companies that is out at the forefront of this issue and pushing to recognize that companies have a responsibility to play in the system. It's not just about consumers recycling. companies and the products that they create need to be recyclable. They need to take responsibility for the life cycle of those products, and that's what SC Johnson is doing. And for more information, go to joinzuzu.com and sign the petition.
The fan favorite series Leverage Redemption returns for its third season April 17th on Prime Video. The show follows a team of reformed criminals who prove sometimes it's good to be bad as they use their less than legal skills to help those in need fight back against the rich and powerful. In season 3, the team pits themselves against a power broker stealing the town's clean water, a pool hustler with a side business in international extortion, and a corrupt mayor who's the judge and jury of his small town, all while dodging a plan of vengeance from a past enemy. But no matter what, when someone needs help, they provide the leverage. Elise Shannon plays Brianna Casey, a brilliant engineer and hacker.
Audiences will love this new season. It's filled with big surprises, major action, lots of humor, and as always, a lot of heart. My character Brianna is still learning about the world of cons, but she brings her own spin to everything. Snarky humor, it's high tech, and she helps the team stop some truly awful people.
Don't miss Leverage Redemption, April 17th on Prime Video.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thank you for staying with us. Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we continue our program with Jeff Cruere, political analyst, columnist with Town Hall, author of America's Last Chance, and host of the award-winning Ringside Politics. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show. Good to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me.
So news out of the Middle East is that Well, gosh, every day there's more news. It's hard to keep up and keep track. But the latest thing I've seen is that Israel is planning to take over Gaza once and for all. Just case in point, they had Gaza and they gave it up in a wrongheaded, silly land for peace deal. And now they're going to take it back. The left is going to once again lose their minds. Give us some insight on this topic that we probably desperately need.
Well, it is certainly a very difficult situation for them. You've got enemies on your border. You've been invaded. You had the worst attack in your country's history. Hostages are still being held by these terrorists. Terrorists who were emboldened and enriched after Joe Biden became president and Iran was flush with cash and started funding all of their terrorist groups, including Hamas. This never happened during Donald Trump's first term. And yes. Now he's saddled with this and trying to, you know, he had his plan to renovate and, you know, turn Gaza into a vacation paradise, which was sort of an interesting concept. And I think, you know, he's been sending his negotiator over there, Steve Witkoff, to try to bring about some kind of solution. He's actually even met with Hamas. I mean, we've had a team meeting with Hamas directly. So I think we're trying everything we can to bring about peaceful solution there. But Israel has allowed a year and a half to pass since the horrible attack. Their hostages are still being held. I can understand that they would want to secure that whole area and make sure that it doesn't fall into, you know, the hands of Hamas again. And I'm sure it's a difficult decision for them because they're still hostages that are probably there. We don't know how many that are alive.
But we know they're there. There are still some there. And it is right. A big Jewish thing to be able to bury your dead in the most honorable way. And it's a big thing for Hamas and terrorists to make sure that they defile their enemies' bodies. I mean, the lopsidedness of such a proposition, these skulls full of mush on college campuses simply do not understand at all the difference.
That's what really baffles me. I mean, that so many are taking the side of terrorists, that so many are, you know, advocating for them. I mean, this is a group that doesn't believe in LGBT rights. Yet we have some kind of, you know, trans for Hamas groups out there. I mean, that's ridiculous. These people are insane.
You heard what Netanyahu said about that, didn't you?
Tell us. I did not.
Trans people for Hamas is like chickens for KFC.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So I know that there's a lot of internal debate going on in Israel right now concerning how to handle this. I know that the families of the hostages are very vocal. Many of them want a peaceful solution. They're worried about their loved ones. But I think the prime minister has to act on behalf of the whole country and what's best for Israel going forward. And it's certainly best for them not to have Gaza in the hands of Hamas.
Right.
And
and
Hamas needs to be eradicated after October 7th. There can be no more Hamas, and that's got to happen.
Well, and there are those kinds of terrorist groups. There's endless terrorist groups that surround Israel that are all affiliated in one form or another. I just wonder about the psychology. Now, there's a lot of people who fall for gullible, useful idiots who fall for things because they clearly just have no clue. None whatsoever. Just like Dave Portnoy sending some of the people at his bar, I don't know if you saw that, to the Holocaust, to Auschwitz, because there was a billboard on his very bar. Dave Portnoy is Jewish, and there was a sign that said, F the Jews. So these people are too ignorant to know anything.
Right.
And you got to be able to educate them. So through his anger and rage, Portnoy decided he's just going to, as part of their employment, if I have that story correct, it was a quickie that went through, send them to Auschwitz so they could see what their hate breeds. And it's the same thing with trying to superimpose your humanity on a group that worships inhumanity. Am I not right?
No, I mean, I would just like these people to put themselves in the shoes of the Israeli people. I mean, they are the only democracy in the region. They are surrounded by countries that hate them. Mm-hmm. You've had attacks on their soil continuously since their founding. It has been a very difficult time maintaining their country in the face of all these threats, yet they have done it. And they have also reached out for peace. I would say the Abraham Accords are a perfect example. If countries are willing to make peace with them, they're willing to make peace with those countries. And that should have resulted in Donald Trump winning the Nobel Peace Prize. He got four Arab countries to agree to have diplomatic relations with Israel. He was going to build on that, you know, in his second term. Hopefully that can still be done. But we've got to get this thing with Hamas and Gaza taken care of first, really.
Well, I hate to say it. No, I don't. I'm a talk show host. I'll say it. The left has a track record of supporting criminality, barbarism, discontent, hatred, bigotry, and they cheer criminality. They cheer it. The mask is off. And while I just think you got to be honest and straightforward about the track record of people that are always on the side of death and destruction. Right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, look at what the left has done for Kilmar Abrego Garcia. I mean, they have turned him into Saint Kilmar.
Yes.
I mean, that he's some kind of a Maryland man unfairly imprisoned, yet we keep getting more and more evidence of the criminality that he was involved in.
And they're only backing off of that for one reason. It didn't work. If it would have worked, because that's all they seem to care about is getting back power, 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 power. If it doesn't work, then they abandon it as if they never believed it at all.
Right.
And that's pure propaganda, really. What do you want to say? We go everywhere and that's what's fun, but what else do you want to tell us about what's going on in Israel and the Middle East right now that maybe people aren't aware of?
Well, I mean, I would just echo what I said a little bit earlier in that, you know, there is a lot of opinions in the country. I mean, there's a lot of debate going on as to the correct course of action. You know, the prime minister is dealing with a, you know, very fluid situation. But I don't think he has a better friend anywhere than in Donald Trump. I do think that's a great partnership that thankfully is in existence. I think one thing to note, who was the first person, foreign leader, to visit after President Trump won a second term? Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't think another foreign leader has been to the White House twice. And Netanyahu
through the front door, too. I mean, how obvious is it that the three terms of Obama, including the previous one we just got over, was anti-Israel? I mean,
plainly
it was just
obvious.
As could be.
Look at what they did to Iran. I mean, look at how they emboldened and enriched Iran. And that in turn set off the terrorism. And I would say the Houthis as well. You know, the Houthis just attacked Israel. I think they're going to regret that. I really do. I mean, I think, you know, we have been engaging against the Houthis now for a few weeks and had success.
Yeah.
So,
Jeff,
I've
got to wrap it up. I am so sorry. Tell everybody real quickly about Ringside Politics and where people can find you.
Well, thanks for having me. I would love people to go on my website, which is my last name, crewair.net, and all the information is there, C-R-O-U-E-R-E.net.
Sounds like a, Sounds like a new airline, Crew Air. C-R-O-U-E-R-E, Crew Air. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on the Alan Nathan Show. It's a pleasure. Hope to get to talk to you again soon. Well, we're going to take another quick break, but when we come back, we're going to wrap up this first hour after this. Don't go away.
Fashion consultants Stacey London and Clinton Kelly from the popular TV series What Not to Wear are back together again. And this time they're making over the makeover show with Prime Video's original new series, Wear Whatever the F You Want. In the new series, premiering April 29th, Stacey and Clinton are ready to transform clients in the fashion capital of New York City, helping them bring their fantasy look to life. Whether it's punk rock or eclectic bohemian artist, Stacey and Clinton empower individuals to live out their fashion fantasies and discover their style truth. Wear Whatever the F You Want offers a fresh perspective that celebrates personal expression over outdated style guidelines. It's all about freedom of expression without any rules. Don't miss the highly anticipated reunion of TV's favorite fashion experts, Stacey London and Clinton Kelly, in Wear Whatever the F You Want this Tuesday, April 29th, exclusively on Prime Video.
More than 7 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's disease, the highest number on record. A new survey from the Alzheimer's Association finds that nearly 4 in 5 Americans want to know early if they have the disease before symptoms interfere with their daily lives. Dr. Elizabeth Edgerly, Senior Director of Community Programs and Services at the Alzheimer's Association.
We found most people want to be proactive in addressing their memory concerns, even if it might be Alzheimer's. That's good news because early diagnosis offers the best opportunity for care and for treatment.
The survey also found most Americans are open to treatments that can slow the disease.
92% of people say they would take medication that could slow the progression of Alzheimer's, and nearly 60% would accept moderate to high risk with treatment. It was clear people want earlier diagnosis, access to new therapies, and support from day one.
Visit alz.org/facts to learn more.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep, for naps and at night, to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True, but now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for that.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. Always a pleasure to have you with us and a pleasure to be with you. We are going to wrap up this first hour with a guest we've had on many times, founder of Let Them Live, an organization which is rewriting the narrative with a simple, compassionate approach to the whole idea of abortion and pro-life, addressing the root cause of many abortions, financial instability, and a whole lot more. Her name is Emily Burning, and we have her right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Emily. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me again. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you. So the left, honestly, I mean, this has been the political football of generations and decades, the issue of abortion. And the left has put forth so many different arguments, including that they want abortions to be safe and rare, that abortion pills are safe, that, you know, abortion is all about freedom. And you know, reasonable people can disagree as to whether the government ought to be involved at all. But you have some thoughts about the abortion pill that the media doesn't want to tell people. So give us an idea what that's all about.
Absolutely. For years, myself and the pro-life movement, we have been trying to help people understand that the abortion pills are so much more dangerous than they've been marketed. I'm sure, you know, you've heard people say that they're, you know, safer than taking Tylenol, and kind of pushing this narrative that it's just this quick and easy solution to, you know, an unwanted pregnancy. But in reality, the abortion pills are so much more dangerous than what people have been led to believe. There was actually a new study that just came out last week, actually, and it analyzed different insurance data claims and looked at different insurance data and found that almost 11% of women who take the abortion pills face serious complications. So that's more than 1 in 10 women will have serious complications from taking the abortion pill. And more than that, it's actually a 22 times higher risk than what the FDA has been reporting. So the FDA has been reporting that the risk of serious complication from taking the abortion pill is less than 0.5%, and it's almost 11%. And so it's a really scary time right now for women, especially because there's so much misinformation regarding the abortion pill, and it's very dangerous, not just for their babies, obviously, but for them as well.
What sort of complications are not often reported that you can tell us about?
Oh, yeah, there's bleeding out. Many times nowadays, women are taking
bleeding out. You mean
home.
Death?
Yes.
Bleeding out.
Yes.
You just bleed
death,
out.
Hemorrhaging.
Wow.
Yes. They lose so much blood that they can die. They hemorrhage. There is infection. Just so many different problems. The other problem that we see a lot is because doctors or women are just getting this on the black market, but they're receiving abortion pills without any ultrasound to verify if they have an ectopic pregnancy or not. If a woman has an ectopic pregnancy and takes abortion pills and thinks that it's all over, that ectopic pregnancy is going to kill both her and the child. And so it's really dangerous because doctors who prescribe abortion pills aren't doing the very basic thing of checking to make sure that women don't have ectopic pregnancies, which will kill them 100%. So women are really not receiving the health care that they believe they are when they're taking the abortion pills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just getting back to the political football that I mentioned, a lot of people have just tuned out on this issue. I would venture to say. I mean, it was an issue. It's really all the left had in the last election. It's almost as if, this is an aside, it's almost as if they wanted Roe v. Wade to be repealed so they'd have something to run on. I'm not convinced that that's not the case. But that being said, I think a lot of people just tune out because whatever comes from the pro-abortion side is fear-mongering, and whatever comes from the pro-life side says, well, they don't believe in abortion under any circumstances, in any way, shape or form, rape or anything else. Could you disabuse people of that notion that you're a credible source too, so that it doesn't say, well, they're against abortion anyway, so why should I think about them as being able to give me accurate information?
Yeah, it's really important to understand the dynamics. For example, if a woman walks into Planned Parenthood, she's paying them for an abortion. So they are receiving something from that. Whereas right. with Let Them Live, we are giving women support. We're helping them pay their bills at no cost to them. It's all donor funded. We're not receiving any sort of kickback or anything like that. We have a lot of people that stand behind us and support us, but we're not selling anything to these women except for giving them the choice to choose life and giving them the resources to do so. And so you can definitely trust that we're coming from a place of caring for women. The pro-life movement is not just caring about the baby anymore. There's really been a huge shift in focus and attention paid to the women who are carrying their children and women's health. You have OBGYNs who stand in the pro-life movement who care. They deeply care about women. They became a doctor, an OBGYN, for that reason. And they're saying, hey, look a little bit more into this. That's all that we're saying. We're not trying to take away women's rights or anything like that, right? We're not here to hurt women. What we're here to do is to say, just look into this a little bit more. And this new study that came out looking at those that insurance data proved all along that pro-life people who have been saying, hey, the abortion pill isn't as safe as you're being told it is. It comes from nothing but pure concern for women and their health. And so yes. I think it's important that people trust and also listen. Again, like you said, the pro-aborts, the left, the fear-mongering is crazy. There's so much fear-mongering going on. And women should never make a decision out of fear. They should have the resources. They should have the information. They should know what abortion is, what it does, and how it's going to affect them. They should have informed consent and know
Absolutely.
Exactly how it's going to affect them.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. It's funny that pro-choice really means pro-abortion. How can people find you, follow you, and support your organization?
Yes, letthemlive.org and all of our social media platforms, Let Them Live.
Well, great. Emily Burning, we're always a pleasure to have you. Your passion really communicates. It really does. Thanks for joining us. Well, we're going to take a top-of-the-hour break. We'll have a whole another hour of the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network right after this. Don't go away.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.